will come on up here. I'd like to lift you up before the Father as you prepare for sharing the word. And again, I'll let you do some introduction of yourself as far as that's concerned. Denny is full of the Holy Ghost. That's the credentials that he needs, so that's what we're going on. Father, we do thank you tonight again for the opportunity we have to have this man be prepared to stand before us and to be used by you. And God, I pray that you would take this vessel of clay and make it something that would bring honor and glory to your kingdom and to your name. So we release him to be all that you want him to be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you. Thank you.
Well, tonight I'm excited to be here. I love the word. I love to be where God's people are. I love to be where God is. I have a question I'd like to ask you tonight. If you knew that within 3 days your grave is going to be dug, that you knew within 3 days your flower arrangements are going to be placed upon your casket, you knew that within 3 days there's going to be a fellowship meal planned in behalf of your death, what would your tombstone read? What would your tombstone read, I ask you tonight? Would it read deceived? Would it read bitter? Would it read angry? What would it read? You see, the side of the world where I came from, people died. Some by the power of the gun, some by the power of death in an automobile crash, some under the influence of either drugs or alcohol, but they died. Death is a reality tonight, church. It's not a fiction. It's not about a fairy tale that you read in some book. It's not about, well, this will never happen to me. You see, my dear friends, tonight, I ponder my past much in the event that why did God spare my life? And when God told me the day, go preach the gospel, I said, by your grace and your power, I shall preach the gospel. And God said, go. I tell you tonight, and I tell you the truth, I'm not here to make you laugh. I'm not here to tell you funny things. I'm not here to joke with you. I'm here to tell you the truth. And the truth of the reality is this: unless your tombstone has the inscription written on that tombstone, forgiven, you and I are utterly lost. We are lost. And it's only by the power and the authority of Jesus' blood that you and I can be justified. It's not about what I'm saying about my life. It's about what is God saying about me. Remember Abraham? He said, I know him. You see, God said, I know him. And what did he know about Abraham? He knew that Abraham was going to call his generations after him. That's what God knew about Abraham. Who was Abraham? Abraham was a man of worship and altars. Abraham worshiped and he built altars. Why? Because he got a picture of who God was and what he was all about. Tonight, let me ask you a question. I don't ask you to raise your hand. I ask you through these meetings to commune with God. And if the Holy Spirit brings conviction to your heart at any point, please, I beg, quench not the Spirit, but yield your heart to the authoritative Word of God, whereby God has first place in your life and mine. Very first commandment: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. I want to go back to a question. How many of us this morning or today feasted at God's Word? How many of us feasted at God's Word? I don't mean done devotions. I don't mean done time. I mean feasted and meditated at God's Word. How many of us today prayed and communed and sought the heart of God for our life. How many of us did those things? Brothers, if you're a leader of the home, I challenge you tonight by the authority of God's word, you will give an account of your home one day. One sweet day. You shall stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to require account at your hand and mine. Did you lead your family to the altar of worship? Did you bathe your spouse in the authority of God's word and prayer? Are you doing these things? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Sometimes we think about these things, but the stark reality takes hold of me when I see a culture that is diving for a Christless grave. I watch these people. I plead with these people. Sometimes they throw me out. Sometimes they hate me, which don't feel good. But it's reality. It's reality. The truth is, and the question comes, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? I'm not asking you tonight, do you know about Jesus Christ? I'm asking you tonight, do you know him as Lord and Savior of your life? That's the question at hand in this fallen culture that we're living in. I look at this nightmare that I see, and I sat in parking lots, I sat in different places, and I watch a society that is bent on taking their own way. You tell me something, and many approach me, they say, if your God is so loving, why then does he let children die? Why do people contract cancer? Listen, that's not God's fault. It's the fault of fallen humanity. That's why those things happen. So quit the blame game with God and point and look toward God who holds the authority to save you and I. I don't know a thing about you people here tonight, and I praise God I don't, because I can just really preach my heart out tonight of what God is telling me. And if you're not blessed that I came, you'll be blessed when I leave. So either way, we're all going to be blessed. You see, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. I ask you tonight, if you're going to lay in that grave in 3 days, what will your answer be to God? What will you have to share with the Lord? What is God going to say about you and me? You know, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. You know what, church? I'm just going to be brutally honest. That's me. I shoot straight from the hip. The fact is, we have a tendency to look around us, and what other people are doing, we say, they say they're Christians, that must be all right. I have a question that I want you to answer. Who told you they were going to heaven? Huh? If we embrace the book of Matthew, chapter 7, listen to me tonight. It talks about those people where God says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And he says, there's few that are going to find it. But then these people come and they say, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We done all these wonderful things. And what's Jesus' response? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's one of the scariest passages in God's word, is the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And it begins by bringing us into that chapter by saying, judge not that you be not judged. You see, sometimes we make judgments and we look at other people and we say, they are doing this, therefore it must be okay. Let me ask you another question. And then we need to get to God's word, or time moves swiftly for me. But let me ask you a question. Inside of 100 years, do you think there's anybody in this auditorium that might be in hell? Inside of 100 years, do you think there might be somebody in this auditorium tonight that will be in hell? Brothers and sisters, friends, believers, unbelievers, I don't know who you are, but I promise you to share the truth of the power of the gospel to you this weekend. But I'm here to tell you, my decisions, my choices, my walk of life, my response to authority, and especially God's authority, makes all the difference where I will live eternity. Where I will live eternity. I want to examine our hearts tonight by the authority of God's word in comparison to a field. And you'll find that in the book of Matthew chapter 13. And he talks about a field. Now he does this in the form of a parable, but he has a lot to say about our heart. By the way, thank you whoever brought the water up here. And here's what he says. In this passage, he talks about this field. And there's different soils. There's different kinds of growing conditions in this same field. Now, back home, I'm employed in God's kingdom, and then I raise cattle and sheep to pay my way. That's how I live. So my cattle and sheep are not my first priority. They come after the kingdom. So whether or whether not, that all happens. There's times that I have left that farm in total disarray. And I asked the question, should I really be doing this? God said, yes, you should be doing this. Go preach the gospel. So I keep preaching the gospel. But in this passage, he talks about a sower and he talks about a field. Here's what he said. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. I just pray tonight that we would open our hearts and commune with God as we read this passage and really figure out, let God show us where our hearts are. Sometimes, my dear people, I don't even understand my own heart. And sometimes I simply pray in some of my circumstances and I say, God, will you take my heart? I don't trust mine own heart. And I'll tell you tonight, if you remove the presence of the Holy Spirit from my life, I am desperately wicked. I am desperately wicked. Therefore, I need him like a drowning man that needs water or air. Picture yourself tonight. If someone was holding you under the water and you can't breathe, what's the one thing you're looking for? It's air. Tonight, what is the one thing you're looking for in your life? Is it God? Is it more money? Is it more things? Is it prosperity? Is it acknowledgement? Is it your pride that's lifted up and elevated to be seen and known of men for who you really are? Or what is your heart really looking for? I trust and I pray and I cry on behalf of us all. And when I talk about these things, my dear people, I'm there. I'm talking about myself. Unless I look to God in such desperation that I can't live, I will surely leave him. I will surely leave him, my dear people. You know, they give that account of the deer in Israel and how those deer, because it gets so hot through the day, those deer find a place of shade and they lay under that shade. And they said by evening, they're coming out because it's cooling down. And you can hear these deer coming. It's something like this. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know what they're wanting? They gotta have water. They gotta have water. They can't live. Is that where you are tonight with the Lord? Do you find yourself in such desperation that you know without God you can't live? Or is life simply a game? Or is life simply a process? Is life simply some journey? Or what is life to you and I? Let me ask you another question. I'm just full of questions. Let me ask you another question. Is God's word your final authority? Tonight, is the word of God your final authority? That means that I don't care what you come up against in life. I don't care where you find yourself. I don't care where you go. You're coming back to God's written, spoken word of God, and that's the final authority whereby you stand. It's the final authority whereby you stand. In other words, it looks like this. You know, our spirituality is not determined where we go when we're compelled to go. Now, I'm preaching tonight. That makes me real spiritual, right? Yeah, uh-huh. No. My spirituality is not determined by where I go when I'm compelled to go, but where I go in my free time. Who are you in the darkness of night? Who are you in the evidence of your soulless where you think you are all alone and there is no one around you to see and to understand? Does it look like something like this? And to many, this is the pitfall of today. They whip out the technology and they begin to open up pages. They begin to open up sessions that lead them straight to the pits of hell. And they feel good about it because they think nobody knows. Who am I in my free time? What is my intellect? What do I think about? How do I think about others? How do I process the relationships of others? And first and foremost, how do I process who God really is? Is God this fiction fairy floater out here millions and millions of miles away that in the event of real disaster where I can't handle it, I call on God? Is that who God is in my life? Or is God the ultimate source of living? Is it the lifeline of the heart that pumps the blood, that without it I can't live? Or who is God tonight to you and to me? You know, the Bible says, and I quoted it before, there is a way that seems right to man. And then the Bible also says, we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power. You know, we're living in a culture, especially inside the walls of many congregations today, who are crying for power. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. If you go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 10, the writer of that book says this, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. But you see, we stop there. The fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Now, if you're going to preach a gospel that says, when I come to the foot of the cross and I call on the name of the Lord and I am received into God's glory, from there on out, it's health, wealth, prosperity, and everything as well. You are preaching a gospel that is foreign to the gospel that I know. How are you going to explain to some dear old brother in the church who is his beloved wife suddenly contracts a disease called cancer and she dies? How are you going to explain that gospel to them? I want to tell you something tonight. I don't know where you all are as a church with all this. But the Lord said at creation, at the fall of man, he said, dust you are and dust you're going to return. Now, if everybody's going to be healed, if everybody's not going to be sick, if never no problems are coming, then God is a liar. And I know my God is not a liar tonight, my dear people. God is truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, John says. Listen, let's focus on the authoritative word of God and make it our final authority. When you think about the deception that's among us today, I want to give you a little equation. If you're going to travel 5,280 feet, that's 1 mile. If you decide to tweak every foot a 16th of an inch, will you hit a 10-foot opening 120 inches at the end of your mile? Will you hit it? You see, the Bible says it's not the big foxes that spoil the vine, but it's the little foxes. And the devil is using the same approach to God's word as he did in the garden, my dear people. He looked at Eve and he said, "Hath God said?" In other words, did God really say this? You know, I just get this picture of mockery to my precious Lord, to my precious God, whom I serve, who is everything to me. And he looks at Eve and he says, "Did God say? Did God really mean this? You know, he said, if you eat, that's the day you're going to die. Oh, God didn't really mean that." Well, let's just take a portion of God's word out tonight. God doesn't really mean that, right? He doesn't really mean that the brother read the passage in Revelation chapter 2 with the church of Ephesus. God doesn't really mean that if you leave your first love for him, he's going to remove your candlestick now, does he? God doesn't really mean that. You see where this all goes? The power of deception. That's why the tellers, when I bring them in a $100 bill, they hold it up. They're looking for something. What are they looking for? They're looking for truth. As you and I should desperately be searching the scriptures every day to figure out that what people are teaching and telling you is the truth. And you know what will happen? When you find the power of that truth, it'll set your heart free. And there's a law in this liberty that I'm talking about, a freedom. And I said we'd get to these scriptures, but my heart is just full tonight. In this liberty we're talking about, there is a law. Don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That's the law in liberty. That's the law in liberty. And why are we free tonight? We are free, and this is how I define grace. We are free to have the opportunity to walk in obedience to the will of God. That's my grace I'm experiencing, my dear people. To simply walk in obedience to what God is saying through the authority of his word. Well, let's finish looking at this passage. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, "By hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. I'd like to give you a little physical picture tonight of what this passage, I believe, is talking about. It's talking about a field, and the Bible talks about the soil being broken up and fallow ground to plant the seed. Well, I planted alfalfa and grass and clover hay back home. So in preparation to put that seed in the ground, I just rip that ground all up, completely tear it up. And it's just all torn up. I bring back in a fitting tool, and I begin to fit it down. And I like to take the last exercise of that field is to take a caldemosher, which levels that ground, and it looks just like a garden plot. And then in my heart, it's ready or preparation for the seed. And then I like to broadcast my seed. I think I get a better job. That's just me. That's opinion. That's not what the Bible says. I want to clarify that tonight. But I broadcast this seed. When I come to the corner of the field, as this seed is being broadcast, some falls beyond the fallow ground. My dear people tonight, that's the wayside. And I watch those seeds. In the event that there's enough moisture, within a day or two, they quickly spring to life. But within a day or two, they're dead. They're gone. You see, that's what he's talking about here. Jesus is giving physical application to a spiritual meaning here. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy he receives it. Yet he don't have any root. Tonight is your heart and mine. Are these hearts rooted in the authority of God's word? Are they standing by the root, the foundation, the sure foundation of Jesus Christ and his authoritative word? But it dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he's offended. Let me encourage you people tonight. Don't be easily offended. Don't be easily offended, but know and understand the authority of God's word. Because you know what the Christian life is about? It's about suffering. It's about rejection. It's about persecution. It's about dying daily to the authority of the flesh. That's what the Christian life is about, my dear people. It's not about some flowery words we say and the snap of a finger and suddenly everything is beautiful. No. Jesus said, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer something. You know what it is? It's persecution. It's persecution. I'm going to tell you something here tonight. It doesn't feel good to be hated, my dear people, but I am. It doesn't feel good to be thrown out, but it happens. It doesn't feel good to be scoffed at, but it happens. Don't be easily offended for the word of God. For instance, let me give you a quick illustration. If you're standing by the authority of God's word and all your accomplices around you are mocking you, are you going to be offended and quit doing the practice of following God's word? Or are you going to stand? You see, the power lies in the authority of God's word being rooted, being grounded in the sure foundation of Jesus Christ and him alone, none other. Well, notice what he says. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And my dear people, I believe we are here today. And the care of this world. Oh, yeah. What did your day look like today? The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Unfruitful? he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. Let me ask you a question this morning or tonight. If you're not reading God's word, what's keeping you from reading it? If you're not praying, why are you not praying? You see, the Bible says that if your eye offends you, pluck it out. He's not talking about literally plucking out your eye. He's talking about getting rid of the offense that bars you from relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. And you know, the longer I live, the more I embrace truth, the harder the battle, the more intense. But now tonight, in closing, we want to look at the picture of who we really are. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word. Tonight I ask you, do we hear the word? Understands the word. Do we understand the authority of God's gospel tonight? Which also beareth fruit. Bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. My dear people, tonight, what really matters in life? What really matters in life? I'll tell you a little story as we close. Of a man from this community, if I have the story right, he decided to go into the milling business, and he bought a feed mill. By the way, how do you choose the occupation that you choose? Do you choose an occupation and then try to bring God along? If you're doing that, I suggest tonight you're doing it backwards. Or do you find the occupation by prayer and supplication to the Lord and letting God give you direction and then prospering that? You see, this man decided to buy a feed mill. He bought this feed mill and it prospered. And this man said, if one feed mill is good, two is better. So he decided to buy the second feed mill. And when he bought the second feed mill, it kept him from the Wednesday evening prayer service. You know what the foreign missionaries coming to America today tell me? The power of the church is known by the Wednesday evening prayer service. You know, Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And so he threw them people out because they made it a den of thieves. Now, there's a message and a whole application in that all of its own. But this man said, I shall buy the second. So he bought the second feed mill. And due to the urgency of having these feed mills ready to go on Monday morning, he had to miss the Sunday evening service. He said, I'm okay with that. That's all right. He missed the Sunday evening service. He said, if two are that much better, I shall buy the third. So he bought the third feed mill. And over the years, it prospered. But it got a hold of his heart, and his life was the feed mill, the feed business. I ask you tonight, what is your life? What's it all about? What does it look like? Time went on. And unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we shall all face this event. It's called death. It's called death. This man lay on his bed, and people were around his bed. This man was dying. Suddenly, he sets up in his bed, and he does this. And they said, what are you listening for? He said,
I'm listening for the voice of God. But he said, I can't hear it for the miller's wheels. So had that gripped his heart, he no longer could hear the voice of God. Tonight I ask you, dear people, what's standing in your way? A full relationship with a sovereign, holy, righteous God. I ask you, and I don't know your life. I'm simply asking questions. But if you're not in full relationship with Jesus Christ, where the Father is absolutely everything to you, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from that? You know, Jesus said, if we don't hate father and mother and children and sisters and brothers and lands and farms and houses and cars and what all can we put in there? He said, we're not fit for the kingdom. We're not fit for the kingdom. Because God said in the book of John, God is light and in him is no darkness at all, right? Because light and darkness don't mix. Where one is, the other can't be. The absence of the other is. So tonight, if we were to turn out the power of the lights, we'd experience darkness. But when the authority power of light comes into this room, darkness must go. I ask you tonight, what would your tombstone read? Let's pray. Oh, Father, tonight as we ponder the conditions of our heart, as we ponder the temptation of our enemy who says, hath God really said? Did God really say this? Lord, tonight we read from your authoritative word to hear truth. God, and you told us in your word that you gave us all these examples for us to learn from. May we learn well. Father, I pray tonight that if your Spirit is speaking to anyone here tonight, God, may they not leave this place until they have repented and come into full relationship with you. Lord, it's not about the experience. It's not about the emotion. It's about our faith being placed in the fact you must be born again. Because without it, God, we can't see you nor enter the kingdom. You see, we just continue to fumble around, continue to find things that make us happy, and that doesn't work. Because it's not fulfilling, and happiness takes one fix and then another, but joy is lasting, whereby when the joy of the Lord, the power of your glory, enters the heart and the life, we are filled. And so God, tonight, that's my desire for each and every person here, including myself, Lord, speak to my heart as I meditate before you. And Lord, what you tell me, I may find the obedience to repent and to be in full relationship with you. I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to ask you a simple question. Stay in your seats. Has God spoken to anybody that they want us to pray for you? Is there anybody like that here tonight? God bless you. Anyone else? Is there anybody here tonight that says, please pray for me? I've moved from God. I know I have. And I want to be back into relationship with Jesus Christ as it ought to be. Is there anybody like that here tonight? God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. We'll pause for a little bit for anybody else, and then I'm simply going to ask your pastor to come and simply pray for you. Then I'm going to ask you to do something. Repent of the thing that's holding you back. Repent tonight of the thing that's holding you back. Find yourself a place of solace where you can meet God and simply cry out, asking God to grant you forgiveness. You know, sometimes we get it all backwards, folks. We think it's about me holding the authority to bring myself into righteousness, but unless God grants me forgiveness, I'm lost. I am lost. In and of myself, I hold no strength tonight. Is there anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else that would say, pray for me? God bless you. Anyone else here tonight? You know, as a young man, for a long, long time, I ran from God. I ran from God. And with regret tonight, it took me to the pits of hell. I was there, people. And it's not worth living for. It brought to me no joy. It didn't fulfill my heart. But then I met Jesus. I met Jesus, and it was like I stepped from one side of the tracks to the other. I began to focus on the authority of God's Word. Oh, the way back was so much more intense than the way away. You see, I believed that I was to be happy. I believed that no one should hold authority over me. I believed that my life was my life to live. And I remember stepping out one night and I said, I am my own man. I will do my own thing and I will show the world. And quickly the devil provided the comrades that took me to the pits of hell. And as I pondered these things in the awful, awful darkness that surrounded me, Jesus said, I am here. I love you. I love you. But you see, my greatest enemy was myself, church. It was myself. I'd been deeply hurt and rejection in my younger years. Allowed the devil to have the authority of my heart, to plant the seed of bitterness, of hatred, of pride, of violence. I love to be violent. You see, are you living the life of transformation? Or are you trying so hard and it's like you have a crank by your side and you crank and you crank? I tell you tonight, let go. You quit trying and let God. Simply let God hold the authority to your life and He can set you free. He can set you free. Anyone else tonight, and then we'll close. God bless you. Anyone else? I don't want to admit anybody. I don't. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else here tonight? God bless you. You see, what we're doing is we're meeting God. And we're asking God to grant us forgiveness. We're asking God to reveal to us the authority of His Word by the indwelling of His precious Holy Spirit. We're asking God to set us free. I remember the day when God opened the cage to my life. And He swung the door open and He said to me, fly. Fly. Danny, fly. I have created you to bring me glory. To bring me glory. And tonight, my heart is full of joy. And when you ask me how I am, I tell you I'm blessed. And by that I mean in Jesus Christ, I'm blessed. I can't express these things, church. Lack of words. But it's reality. God is worth it all. Pastor, will you come? Maybe those that raised their hands, just simply stand and let him pray with you, and we'll meet God here.
If you could stand at this time, those of you that raised your hands, and again, if God is speaking to you and you didn't raise your hand and you want to stand now, that's fine too. In the wilderness, when the people were stricken by the serpents, there was a serpent lifted up on the pole, and when the people looked on the serpent, they were healed. The same, our Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross, and we look on him, we are able to be healed and find power in the blood that was shared there. Father, we do come before you tonight recognizing that you alone hold the keys to life. And I thank you, Father, that we have opportunity tonight, like no other time, to be able to come to you and know that you will meet us where we stand here tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless each one in a special way. Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on each one that has answered the call, has yielded to whatever you have been prompting or laying upon their hearts. Lord, right now, at the place where they stand, I pray that you would meet them. Lord, for all of us here tonight, I pray, Father, that you would continue to move upon our hearts that we might know that we truly serve an awesome God, and that the things that we hold back, that we do not release, are the things that will eventually cause us to fail to be able to see you in eternity. So, Father, again tonight, I pray that your Spirit would reign supreme over the spirit of fear, and that there would not be any spirit of fear that would be able to keep anyone from being able to answer to you tonight. So, Father, tonight, we release this here time to you, release the word to you that was spoken, and I pray, Lord, that you would protect it, that it would grow from the ground that it was planted in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We all stand together. Jim, can you lead us in a closing verse of a song?